used in Greek is agape love. It seems to me that real love shows up in the hardest of times. It's not fleeting like most TV shows represent it. You know, they fall in love and maybe they get married and then it doesn't last. They find someone else. That's not agape love. It's a different kind of love. It's a love that this world, I think, promotes. But they don't understand this love that is agape love doesn't originate in us. It originates in God Himself. God chose the marriage between a husband and a wife to mimic His love for us. In fact, in Scripture, He calls the church the bride of Christ. You know, you're called the bride of Christ. We are called the bride of Christ. Now, when we are dating the one that we are eventually going to marry, that's the get-to-know-you period, where you develop trusts and trust in maybe some interests that you might share, a priorities, hopes, a connection, all those kinds of things. You know, in all honesty, it was told me many, many years ago, and I don't remember who told me this, but they said every date could be a potential mate. Think about it. Every date could be a potential mate. You're looking to see if that is the person that could possibly be the one that you would marry eventually. But the thing about marriage that is different than just dating, the thing about marriage is different than anything else is it's the total giving of ourselves to another. And it's reserved for marriage. We've gotten it wrong in the culture we live in today. A lot of times the giving away takes place long before marriage. But really, in its intent, it is the total giving of ourselves to another in marriage as husband and wife. Now, God tells us something. When we look at marriage in the Bible, God says He gave Himself to us through Christ. He gave Himself to us through Christ. He was committed to us. He paid the price for us. You know, in some cultures, in fact, in some cultures, it's the opposite of this, but in some cultures, a groom pays a dowry to the bride's family for the bride. Now, some cultures, it's the opposite. The bride's family pays a dowry to the husband. But there are cultures that do it both ways. I think this picture of a groom paying a dowry to the bride's family is a perfect picture of what Christ did for us. He paid the price for us, for the bride. Ephesians 5:25, it says this: husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. In case you didn't think I was telling you the truth, the Bible does speak of marriage in the context not only of husband and wife, but of Jesus and the church. So getting back to the text, both texts here this morning. If you want to know how to love, really love, 1 John 4:7 and following tells us how to do that. Because here's what it says. Where does this kind of love come from? Because there's no doubt this love, as we went through the 1 John, the letter, just a few weeks ago, this kind of love is different than love as the world kind of understands it. And in that verse 7, here's what it says. Dear friends, let us love one another. Then stop there, though. For love comes from God. It's not a love that originates in us. It's a love that comes from God. This kind of love comes from God. So if we love each other, then the love of God is in us. If we love that way, the love of God is in us. That's what he tells us in 1 John 4:7 and following. That kind of love. Don't confuse that kind of love with the kind of love that the world talks about. This kind of love is a different love. It's a deeper love. It's an unconditional love, and it comes from God. If you want to have a marriage that can last forever, till death do us part, you need to know real love, agape love, a love that says, I love you. Not I love you if, not I love you but, I love you. I am so grateful that God has that kind of love for me, because there are times that I do things I shouldn't do, and why should God love me? We look at our lives and say, even we've messed up marriages and that sort of thing, and say, why would God love me? Because God's love is agape love. God's love says, I love you, period. Isn't that a wonderful kind of love? So there's not a single person here in the church here this morning that falls outside of God's unconditional agape love. He loves you. And that's the kind of love we ought to have for our spouse. This is not an emotional love, it's not an erotic love, but it's a lasting and eternal love. That's what this love is, deeper than any of those others. This love is so deep, and it originates in God. And the only way I can truly have that kind of love is if I know God. And how do I know God? Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. It's a love that seeks nothing but to give itself to another. And you know, we're so messed up in the world today. Even in the church sometimes, we tend to love with a condition. We tend to do what we do with a condition. And God says, just love. If understood at that level, the recipient can't help but to love in return. It's a very contagious kind of love. So what does it look like then? Mike had told me he wanted 1 Corinthians 13 as a part of what we were sharing here this morning, because that lays out agape love for us. And so 1 Corinthians 13 lays it right out there for you and me and says things like this. You know, you may speak in tongues, or you might prophesy, or you might have faith that can move mountains, or you can give like there's no tomorrow, but it means nothing if it's not motivated by love. Nothing. Even this morning, as the plate was brought up and people give, I don't want people to feel compelled to give. That's why I think I kind of like the way we do that. COVID did that to us. Good things happened from COVID. We've got services online now. We never had that before. It forced us into the whole tech thing. And the fact is, I want you to give because you want to give. With a cheerful heart. Not because the past went by, plate went by you. You know, I go to a church someplace else and they got the plate out. You're out here. Oh, stink, I grabbed the 100. No, I wanted the 20 instead. You know, bring the plate back here. I mean, you know. God wants us to give with a cheerful heart. He wants us to give because we love him. And so when 1 Corinthians is laid out for us, dealing with a church that was kind of messed up, he's saying, here's how love really works. Agape love. This is how agape love really, really works. It's unconditional. It's a divinely infused love. You get that? It's divinely infused. It's God placing his love in you because you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit resides within your heart, and his love resides within you. You are capable in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, of loving like God loves you. The problem is, you and I are not always reflecting that, because what gets in the way? Self, sin, all that sort of thing. So here's what it looks like. I'm going to read it for you again. This kind of love is patient. I mean, think about marriage. I'm not always patient. Sorry, Lisa. I'm not always filled with agape love. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy, boast, or it's not prideful. Why? Because love is selfless. These are things that are selfish. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Here's the one that I underlined in my Bible many, many, many years ago after I got married. And it keeps no record of wrongs. We do that sometimes, don't we? But remember when you... Oops. I'm referring back to something that you did. God doesn't do that. God says, when I forgave you, I threw it as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't hold that against us. So it keeps no record of wrongs. Mike and Don, I want you to listen to this morning too, in addition to everybody else here. If we had a test this morning, a quiz, I think all of us would not pass with flying colors. It wouldn't be an A+, because we struggle with self and sin. But we work at it because we're filled with agape love. This love hates evil, rejoices in the truth. It always does this. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. And it also says, as it concludes that part of the text, love works 92.365% of the time. Now, what did it say? Love never fails. We fail. We mess up. But agape love never fails. It will ultimately accomplish its work. And you and I have access to that because we are divinely infused with that kind of love in Christ. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. So marriage is the perfect place to grow in this kind of love. It's not perfected love, but it's perfecting love. You see, we're not there yet, but we move in that direction. We have every tool available because we have the everlasting love of God. God chose marriage to best represent this agape love. And as people who are married, we have the privilege and the opportunity to show that kind of love to our spouse. And in so doing, we can show a world what agape love really looks like. You think about that? You have an opportunity as a married couple to be a witness to the world. Don't take that too lightly. It starts with commitment to another. There are no conditions in expressing that love. It's only dependent on one source, and that source is God. Agape love, God is the source. And you have an opportunity in marriage to show that to each other. So I'm going to have Mike and Donna come up at this point. Because Mike had come in with his suit coat and stuff, I thought I'd put mine on at least for this portion of the service. And I want you all to follow along with this. Mike and Donna did not want this to be about them. They wanted this to be about God. And so as I go through this brief service of renewing of vows in marriage, I'm asking those of you who may be thinking, why don't we just do this morning? After I'm done with the service, I'm going to reshare those vows. I'm going to just take a moment, and if there's anyone here that would like to do that, I'm going to ask the couple to stand up and turn and face each other when I do that. Now, you don't have to do it. No one has to do that, but I'm offering it this morning. So what I want you to do is listen to what we are sharing here this morning. And then when I give you that opportunity to share vows with each other, you may do so. Can you all make it up here so people can see you better? Can you get up here? All right, sounds good. All right. As you celebrate here today, and as you reflect back as husband and wife, do you now wish to publicly reaffirm and renew the vows you took previously? If so, answer, we do. Will you... That is, the friends, the congregation of Mike and Donna continue to support and uphold them in their marriage now and in the years to come. If so, would you respond, we will?
We will.
Let's pray. We pray with Mike and Donna that God's Holy Spirit will continue to guide and strengthen them and that they may fulfill God's promises and purposes in their life for the rest of their life. God, our Father, you have taught us through your Son that love is the fulfilling of God's law. Grant to your servants that loving one another, they may continue in your love until their lives end. Amen. John, 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Many believe that entering into marriage is the final step in a romantic relationship. But marriage is not meant to be the final step in a couple's relationship. It is really just the beginning of a grand adventure, which hopefully will be long and fruitful, enriching both husband and wife. Marriage is a gift of God and creation through which husband and wife may know the grace of God. It is given that as man and woman grow together in love and trust, they shall be united with one another in heart, body, and mind, as Christ is united with his bride, the church. Today, Michael and Donna wish to reaffirm their commitment to their marriage and express their continuing love and pledge to each other. When you first joined hands and hearts in marriage years ago, how many years ago? 20. You did not know where life would take you. You didn't even know here 20 years later that Mike was going to be pastoring a church up in Engadine. In fact, when you got married, you didn't sign up for that, did you? But God has led you to in a beautiful and wonderful way. As you began your life together in a formal sense at your marriage service, you were reminded that marriage is given that it may comfort and help you as you live faithfully together in times of need, as well as plenty, in sadness and in joy, in sickness and in health. It is a way of life created and made holy by God that all should honor. You now come in God's presence to renew your vows to love, honor, and cherish each other. And the church celebrates with you and supports you. I will ask that you say together the vows you made on your wedding day. And in token of this, you will each give and receive. Were we going to do rings? You're wearing them, so we'll skip that part. Oh God, our Father, from the beginning you have blessed creation with abundant life. Pour out your blessings upon this couple, that they may continue in mutual love and companionship in all holiness and commitment to each other. Michael and Donna, I invite you now to join hands, both of your hands, and to make your vows in the presence of God and his people. We're doing this a little differently than what you probably did the first time. Just repeat after me as I instruct you to do so. I told you you didn't have to know anything before you got up here. All right. Michael, start with you. I, Michael, take you, Donna, to be my wife. Now, Donna, repeat after me. I, Donna, take you, Michael, to be my husband. That's okay. I'm not an emotional person, you know that. So. And then I want you both to repeat together after me these words. To have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish each other, till death do us part, according to God's holy law. And this is our solemn vow. Today, in the presence of God, and of our family and friends, we affirm our continuing commitment to this vow. That was a long phrase, wasn't it? All right. Let's pray. Here, let's pray. Gracious God, pour out the abundance of your blessing upon Michael and Donna in their continuing life together. Bless them in their work and in their companionship, awake and asleep, in joy and in sorrow, in life and in death. May your blessing rest always upon their home, that joy, peace, and contentment would dwell within as they live together in unity. And all who enter their home may experience the strength of your agape love expressed through them. Oh God, our friend and companion on the journey, we thank you for the circle of Michael and Donna's family and friends. We thank you for their continuing strength as their story unfolds, and we thank you for their support as they rejoice with them in good times and comforting them in sorrow. Michael and Donna, look outward and know yourselves to be held through the embrace of all whom you love. Amen. And now God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit bless and preserve and keep you. The Lord mercifully grant you the riches of his grace that you may please him both in body and soul, and living together in faith and love may receive the blessings of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, Mike, would you mind going ahead and giving her a kiss, and then I will pronounce you? Amen. Michael and Donna, today you have renewed the promise and the vows you made to each other 20 years ago. You have symbolized the renewal of the marriage by the joining of your hands, the renewal of your vows, and the rings that are always on your hand, or already on your hands. It is with pleasure that I conclude the ceremony of renewing the vows of marriage that joined you and forever binds you as husband and wife. Please celebrate this renewal of vows together with the church. Amen. No, I'm going to do this in front of some of you. It's like, whoa, if I have to stand up and do this. But I'm going to ask, is there anyone here, a couple here, any couple here, that would like to stand and would like to renew your vows right now? If you'd like. Okay. All right. Several of you. I'm going to have you turn and face each other. And I'm going to instruct the husbands first. You have heard the words that have been shared. You've heard this agape love that God talks about. And I believe each and every one of you share in that agape love. As I look out, I know each and every one of you as couples. I'm going to ask you husbands first. If you would say this as you look at your spouse, don't look at me, I'm already married. So I, whoever it is, when I say this, because I can't say all your names at once, but I, whoever, take you to be my wife. Would you say that? Wife, you look at your husband. I, whoever, took you to be my husband. Now you got to do this all together. Can you do this together? I want you to repeat after me, both of you, as you look at each other. To have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health. To love and to cherish each other. Till death us do part. According to God's holy law. And this is our solemn vow. Today, in the presence of God and of our family and friends, we affirm our continuing commitment to this vow. Amen. Go ahead and kiss your wife or husband. Amen. We are going to conclude our time together with a hymn, and think about this hymn. It's, oh, how he loves you and me, and you know how much God loves you and me. We can love each other the way God loves us. So would you stand with me as we sing together, oh, how he loves you and me, 513 and up on the screen. Oh, how he loves you and me.